Pray for faith, she says the word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Faith, who has soaked herself in your word and in prayer and in the Holy Spirit. And we want to receive all that you have to say to us now, Lord. And we pray for Faith that you'd fill her mouth and fill her heart with your love and with your Holy Spirit, and that your words would be communicated to us by the power of that Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. It's great to be here in a wonderful worship where we're touching the Lord. So, we are thinking tonight about shining lights. And those of you that don't come every time to celebrations, we have to explain that we're actually thinking about the Old Testament tabernacle, which was a place where God met with his people, but we're just using it as symbolic of what God wants to do in our lives. So we've taken the different furnishings of the temple, and we've already looked at the brazen altar, where they saw the sacrifices for sin. We looked at the laver, where people, where the priests washed their hands and feet to cleanse themselves as they went into God's presence. And now we're going into the inner court of the temple. We're going into the holy place, and we are seeing that there is a lampstand there. That's what's mentioned first. Okay, so we're looking at the lampstand that's in the temple, but we're not going to look so much in detail at that, but just to remind us that the priests had to keep that lamp burning continually. It had 7 bowls of light, and it had to be continually burning so that you never went in without finding light. And I think that's what happens to us when we go into the presence of the Lord. You don't go into the presence of the Lord without finding light, as we shall see. When I was looking at the whole subject of God being light and what he wants to say to us about light, there is just so much that the whole Bible is absolutely full of the revelation that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Let's have the next slide. Okay, we know that on the very first page of the Bible in Genesis 1, God said, because there was darkness over the face of the deep. It says the earth was without form and void, and there was darkness over the face of the deep. It was all very, very dark. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I think that's absolutely beautiful. The concept that God just spoke, let there be light, and in his speaking, light flooded in. Right from the beginning, in creation, light was there. You know, it's impossible for us to imagine a world without light, isn't it? To have walking constantly in darkness. Of course, there have been many centuries when people didn't have a lot of light, but it was always treasured, whether it was a candle or some kind of a flame or whether it was a fire. Whatever it was, light draws people because we want to live in light. I remember writing a poem about the shepherds in the hillside at Christmas time a few years back. And you remember the angel appeared in a burst of light. There was a bright light shone all around the shepherds, who before that had been on a dark hillside. And as it shone around, they kind of woke up. And I wrote just a couple of lines I'll quote to you, where I wrote, now the dark, once the angel had gone, I put, now the darkness once more round them. Beatific vision gone. Can they ever live again in night? Humans, once their eyes are opened, grow accustomed to the light. That's totally true of us. We grow accustomed to the light. We want to have light. And God is light. And God says, let there be light. A number of years ago, I was actually, I was speaking on prayer, actually. And it was held in a conference center. But there was another few people staying there, I think either for a small conference or for their own individual times. I'm not sure. But anyway, one of them came to me in a break and asked me if I could give him half an hour. And I said, yes, of course. And so I went to talk to this man. And he told me that, he said, I'm in a real bit of trouble and I need prayer. And he said, I am back in my job. I've been accused of something which I didn't do. It's just totally false. But the accusation is really strong against me. And he said, you know, I might even lose my job. And it's a pressure on every way on my family. And he said, would you pray for me? And I said, of course, I'd be glad to pray for you. Let's just come before the Lord. And we just bowed our heads. And we were holding ourselves before the Lord. It came into the presence of the Lord. And suddenly, I looked up and I said to him, very, very gently, you know, I want to pray for you, but I can't pray into a place of innocence, because actually I believe God's just shown me that that was a true accusation. The thing that's been held against you is true. I don't know how I had the courage to say it, but I did anyway. And I remember the shocked look on his face for a moment. There was silence, and then he said, that's true. And I said, so perhaps wouldn't it be better that we just bring that to God, ask his forgiveness, and ask him to deliver you from the oppression of this thing now. Let's ask the Lord to be gracious to you, but perhaps it's better to start because we're in the place of light, because God is light. And that's what I felt was happening. And we prayed very, very deeply over this issue, and he asked God to forgive him, not only for the situation in the first place that had caused this huge problem, but also for wanting to declare himself innocent when he wasn't. And I thought how wonderful God is, because he's so gracious. I didn't follow it through. I said, you know something, I'm going to leave you here praying in this room to continue to your prayers. And I said, I should just lift you to God. Of course you know that this will stay totally confidential, and it has done over the years. And as I've shared it with you, there's no indication at all of the person, because I just kept it between myself and the Lord and prayed that God would be gracious to him, because that's in the end, light can bring truth, but truth doesn't have to be harsh and ugly, does it? Truth can be releasing. I believe for that man it was releasing that he was able to confess to me his sin, to God ultimately, but it was just to share with another person. God is so gracious. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And when he comes into any situation of darkness, he says, let there be light, and there is light. You know, maybe in our own lives, and we may not have horrendous areas of darkness, but sometimes there are things that become a darkness in our life, aren't there? Sometimes it's a broken relationship and it sort of escalates, and it can be a place of real darkness, so we don't want to look at it because we prefer not to look into a dark place. But the Lord is saying again, let there be light, let there be light. Because where there's light, where it's God's light, it's not a harsh, ugly spotlight. It's a gentle light which shows us how we need to respond to him. It shows us his love. It shows us himself. Because, of course, it exposes. Light will expose. But we don't want to leave the darkness untouched. We want to be finding the beginning of healing, because actually to bring things to God is the beginning of healing, isn't it? When there have been things wrong in our lives and we confess them to God, it's the beginning of healing and restoration and fullness of personhood and dignity. God is gracious, but he is light. The Apostle John picks up this whole theme. On the first page of the Bible, it talks about God saying, let there be light, and there was light. In the first few verses of John's Gospel, we see that in the beginning, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The light, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. These are the words of John. And I love those words, because what I love is that just those words, the darkness did not overcome it. Now, in a way, it's obvious, isn't it? Because if you have darkness in a room and you put a light on, the darkness doesn't put the light out. The light starts to dispel the darkness, because light is stronger than darkness. And that's another thing that's really encouraging to us, that light is stronger than darkness. So it can dispel it. But I love the fact that Jesus says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. You know, there are even of recent years these terrible situations around the world where your heart sinks when you hear what's happening in Syria and in Iraq. We heard yesterday about some missionaries who were shot in Iraq. They were going in to help in Mosul, and they were martyred. These three of them, one of them is still alive, but very, very injured. And I just thought again that we need the light to overcome the darkness, and we need hope, don't we? Some of you probably saw in the news this week that Dame Vera Lynn has reached the age of 100, and most people probably today hadn't heard of Dame Vera Lynn, but as they focused on her life a little bit on the news, we saw and were reminded that she was called the Forces' Sweetheart because she actually went out to many dangerous places during the last war to sing to the troops. And the thing was that there were veterans who were testifying to how moved they had been by her singing, because somehow she had the grace to sing songs of hope to soldiers out on the front line who were seeing their friends blown to pieces every day and terrible things happening. And even those words of hope she sang, they weren't Christian words, but they were words of hope. You remember, "We'll Meet Again." "We'll Meet Again" was one of her songs. "And we'll gather lilacs in the spring again." It was saying this war won't go on forever. There will be an end. There is hope. But that's what God does, doesn't he? He comes into our darkest situations and says, "This won't go on forever. There is hope. If you reach out to me, there is hope. We can get past the darkness because the light can shine in the darkness." He can give us wisdom and help and guidance on the way. Sometimes we need to take a different path and the light shines on that path. Sometimes we need to hold off all the darkness and the oppression and the dangers that come. When you're walking in darkness, spiritually or emotionally, you can feel very, very pressured in your mind. And the wonderful thing is that God says that we can overcome the darkness with the light of the Lord. You know, a couple of nights ago, I read in the paper that there was, perhaps some of you heard of that, but there was an accident up in London near the theatres. There was a couple crossing the road and they got hit by a car, and both of them were badly injured. There was a doctor passing, an off-duty doctor, and he stopped to tend to them, but he had to tend to them in the road. And somehow or other, instantly, some of the just general members of the public, people coming out of theatres, what they did, they all had these wonderful iPhones and they switched on their torches and stood across the road in a chain, shining their torches to stop other cars coming straight at them and over the people who were already injured because they had no other light. But I thought what a lovely picture that was, wasn't it? People standing shoulder to shoulder, each with their light, shining it so the oncoming traffic wouldn't damage them or most particularly the people they were protecting. It's just a simple thing, isn't it? But we can often shine light in dark places, not just with iPhones. Because if you're like me, if I switch mine on, I never remember how to switch it off again. So it's, you know, constantly shining. But perhaps that's a good thing. You know, everybody knows I need help with my phone. But anyway. But God is good, isn't he? And people have an instinct. Let's get light into this situation. That is a wonderful thing. So let's have our next slide. What have we got here? The invitation. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life." That's an incredible promise and an invitation. He's saying, "Come and follow me. Come and follow me." We see there his disciples behind him in that image from the Gospels. Jesus said, "Come and follow me and you won't walk in darkness." I think that's a fantastic promise. I was praying for someone recently whom I've known him slightly for many years, but he's had a lot of brokenness in his life, a huge amount. And he's been going through very dark times again. And I was thinking, if only he could constantly follow Jesus, because when he does, he goes through periods, you know, like some people do, where they start to follow the Lord and then they kind of, things start to improve, things are going better, and all of a sudden they turn away again and the darkness overwhelms them. And that's definitely true of this young man. And so in his case, again, I thought, as I was praying for him the other day, I thought, if only he would walk closely to Jesus behind him. Jesus has promised that if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness. That's a wonderful promise to take hold of for every one of us, isn't it? If you follow Jesus, you won't walk in darkness. Whatever happens around you, you're going to have light to know what to do, how to respond, how to be protected, how to be guided on the right path. Whether it's in your work or your home, your family, whatever it is, you don't need to walk in darkness. Sometimes when we have family members who perhaps are estranged from us or from one another, it can feel like a pool of darkness, can't it? But this is where the Lord wants to shine light. And he can shine light. You don't have to preach at people, do you? You just lift them to the Lord. And as we ask God to help, then that light shines into them. It may mean that in that light, things come up between them that they didn't want to know about. Sometimes light will bring things to light, as we've already said. But if they stay in the light, if we keep praying light in, it can bring healing and grace. Light is healing. It's sometimes used as a healing agent. Light is a wonderful healing agent. Let's look at the next thing. So, what happens when we follow Jesus and we find we're not walking in darkness anymore is that we are called to be bearers of the light. We're called to be, reflections of that light of Jesus. So we're not just following the light of Jesus, but we are becoming ourselves light bearers. I feel we should ask God to make that true of every one of us, that we become a light bearer in our workplace, in our homes, in the church, wherever we go, out in public. If we encounter situations, let's ask the Lord to make us light bearers, to bear his light within us. Because the world needs so much light, doesn't it? It needs us to be lamps, and that's what Jesus said of us, that we are his lights. Let me just find my... Yes, I read a little poem many years ago. It was written by somebody in early 19th century, I think. But it still holds true today. I'm going to read it to you. It's not the most amazing poem in the world, but it has something to say. And this little poem says, God's lamps are we, to shine where he shall say. And lamps are not for sunny rooms, nor for the light of day, but for dark places of the earth, where shame and pain and sin have birth. And for the murky twilight grey, where souls are lost or gone astray, and where the lamp of faith has grown dim, and souls are crying out for him. It's a reminder that the Lord puts us as a lamp to shine where he wants us to shine. I remember somebody once saying to me about a situation they were in their workplace, and in particular surroundings of relationships. And they said to me, "No, I really don't know why God's allowed me to get into this place, because I had so much love in my own home, and this is just so opposite to that. And there was so much truth and goodness and prayer in my home. So why is God now, you know, I'm in this place and I've got all this stuff around me?" And I laughed and I said, "Well, you've answered the question. Why? Because you had so much going for you that you became a light bearer. So God puts you where he needed you. You might want to be only in the bright places, but God wanted you to shine some light there for however long that he wants you to be there, because that's what we are. That's what our beloved Henry and Lydia and Andrew and Biz are doing out in Thailand. I'm not sure it's not altogether dark, but there are some very difficult places, aren't there? Working amongst people in huge poverty and need, children abandoned and all sorts of grief out there, and God has put them there to shine light, and we pray they'll continue to be light bearers, and that all of us will, where he's placed us. He's placed some of us, most of us here, in London, hasn't he? And London isn't always the lightest place. It may have a lot of artificial light in London, where you know, or lights all the time shining through your windows because they've got so many street lamps. But spiritually, it's not a very bright place. We need more and more of the light of Jesus to shine. So maybe we should pause and think about where God's put us, in our home, in our family, in our workplace, amongst our neighbours, wherever it feels as if there's not a lot of light. Let's not just turn away. Let's shine the light. In the tabernacle, the priests were told that they had to face the actual lamps. It was on a lampstand with seven lamps, and they were to face the people coming in, not some of them going towards the wall, because it was light to shine out to the priests coming into that place. And it's a bit like us, that God says, don't turn your face to the wall. I need you out there to shine light for me. Let's shine that light together. Let's have the next one. Who among you, this is a verse from Isaiah 50, verse 10, says, who among you walks in darkness and has no light? Let him call on the name of the Lord. That's a lovely command, exhortation, encouragement. Who among you walks in darkness? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, I think is the actual word there. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Because even when we are people of light, as I hope we are, we sometimes walk in darkness. We walk in a place that's difficult. Or sometimes, you know, you go through a time, even as a Christian, don't you, where you feel lots of pressures on you and don't always feel the light of God's presence. And we have to walk by faith, like through this, like this guy's walking through a tunnel. Sometimes we walk through tunnels spiritually, but the Lord is always there. That light is always shining as we come out again. May the Lord really help every one of us who are going through those difficult times, where it seems sometimes as if the prayers we're praying aren't being answered, or where we don't have the provision we need, or we're finding that the relationships are falling apart around us. Let's trust him. Trust in the name of the Lord if we're walking in darkness. Let's have a next one. Okay, walk in the light. Here's a nice picture here. It might be one of our house groups. In 1 John, the Apostle John takes up this whole theme of God being light. And then he says, but we are light too. God is light, he says, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we live in him, then we walk in the light. And then he says, if you walk in the light, as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what we are saying is, we have friendship, we have fellowship with one another. It is a wonderful thing to be in a group of people who love Jesus and where the light of God is shining out of their lives. And you feel that connection in the spirit, don't you? You feel, we call it the prayers of agreement. We call it agreement. There's an agreement in spirit, not in a clubby kind of way, but truly we know that we want Jesus to be glorified. We know we want his kingdom to come. And it brings you into a place where you can have relationship with other people who have the same heart. So the epistle to Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So don't stop coming to meetings like this or Sunday mornings, because when we do, we start to receive more light because of the presence of other believers. The light increases. When we pray together, we receive more light together. That's why we're encouraged to pray. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything you ask, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. And where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Jesus is with us when we gather in his name. Jesus is with us when we're walking in the light. So we need to walk in the light. And in particular, the Apostle John brings out this point of forgiving one another and not turning against one another. If anyone hates his brother, he walks in darkness, it says. Now, if you have been a Christian quite a long while and you've never had a struggle to forgive somebody for something, then you're doing pretty well, because most people do. There are times in our lives where we have to forgive, because if we don't, when somebody hurts us, now maybe they deliberately hurt us, maybe they inadvertently hurt us, whichever it is, sometimes you can feel that hurt and pain and anger, resentment growing, can't you? And it can become a place of darkness within us. And unless we allow the light of the Lord to shine, we begin to stop experiencing that walking in the light and having fellowship with others. In fact, very often we withdraw from other people when that happens. But when God gives us grace, when he shines his light in, he shows us how to forgive. He helps us to forgive, doesn't he? All across this hall, there are people who've been helped to forgive something. Maybe something serious, maybe something not so serious. But whatever it is, if we don't forgive, it becomes a place of darkness within us. And the Lord says, let that darkness go. Because if you hate your brother, if you stand against your brother or sister, then you're walking in darkness. Let's walk in the light. Let's walk in the light with our fellow Christians. Let's have our last one. Let your light shine. This was the command of Jesus. Now, you're light bearers, okay? You're people of light. And Jesus says, let your light shine before people in the world so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, we're not meant to be kind of parading in a kind of holier-than-thou way. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? I was reading that one at some... forgotten who he was now, but a well-known American preacher said recently, you know, there are two reasons why people don't come to God. One is because they don't know any Christians, and the other is because they do know some Christians. And unfortunately, that is equally true, isn't it? So we have to, as Christians, say, Lord, we are sorry for when we've let you down, when we haven't let our light shine. But there is a place for letting your light shine so people can see good works. When it says good works, that sounds very kind of social actionist, doesn't it? But it means showing goodness and love and grace in whatever circumstance you find yourself. It might be in a major thing, like running an orphanage, like our brothers and sister here, but it might be just simply showing kindness, stopping to speak to somebody as they walk down the street or as they're passing. We want to be people who let our light shine before others so that they glorify Father, because they might then think, I want to become a Christian because I know this person who's just so different. In fact, many, many people in this hall tonight became Christians themselves because they encountered people whose light was shining and they gave glory to Father in heaven, followed him. Let's have this last slide. Okay, this is one of my, you know, I have a number of favorite texts, I have to say, and they're favorite for different reasons, okay? So, for example, one of my favorite texts is Philippians 4 and verse 6, because it's so practical and it's so easy to lay hold of, and it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And I can't tell you how many times I've laid hold of that verse and said, Lord, thank you. That's what I need to do, not to be anxious about this situation, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present it to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and mind. That's one of my favorite verses, okay? But I actually have a lot. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, says Paul. But this is another of my favorite verses. This is what I call my aspirational favorite verse, okay? Because the fullness of Daniel 12, verse 3, says this. It's talking about the end times and when we all meet the Lord, okay? And it says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That is a very, very beautiful statement, isn't it? And I hope everybody in this room, like me, their heart rises. Lord, that's what I want to be. I want to be one of those stars, Lord. What does it need? It needs to be wise. And we are only wise when God shines into our mind, our hearts, our thoughts, our opinions. We need to grow to be wise. That's why I said it's an aspirational verse. I'm nowhere near there, but that's what I want. I want to be a person who walks in wisdom because I walk in the light of the Lord. So those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You know, so often we turn people away from righteousness, don't we? Because we don't live in the Spirit of Jesus. But the Lord says, if you want to be a star, turn many to righteousness. How are you going to turn them? You're going to turn them by being a light bearer yourself. You're going to turn them by pointing to the light of Jesus. I had the privilege many years ago when I was single, and I shared a flat with a couple of other nurses. And in the flat above us, there were two secretaries lived, and they just used to occasionally say hello as they passed us and coming in and out of the door. But one day, one of them came down, my friend and I were there, and she came down first thing in the morning, and she said, I just need some advice. She said, my friend went out last night with a group of friends, and she didn't come back, and I've not heard from her at all, because we obviously had a phone in the place. It was before mobile phones, but we had a phone there. And she said, I don't know if I should call the police or what I should do. And she was obviously very, very troubled. So my friend and I said, well, what we do, first of all, if we have any situation of anxiety like this, is we pray. May we pray for you first and ask God for guidance. And she said, oh, okay, all right. She didn't know what to make of it, but we just bowed our heads and we asked God to give wisdom here, to shine light, to show us what was the right thing to do and to take care of this friend of hers. And we finished praying and we said, okay, now, before we said any more, the phone rang, and it was her friend who phoned just like that at the end of our prayer and said, I'm okay, I'm safe, I couldn't get to a phone last night, missed the last train home, got, you know, stayed with friends. And so the whole situation was averted. But a few months later, when we were moving out of this flat, these two girls, I was packing at the time, and they came down to talk to me to say goodbye, and then they said, you know, what is it that you girls have, you know, that we don't think we have? Because we used to always pray together and we used to sing all the time. They said actually used to drive us mad at first because we'd hear you getting up early in the morning to go on duty and, you know, buzzing around the flat at half past six in the morning singing away. And you realize how thoughtless you can be. But anyway, they forgave us that. But I had the privilege of leading these two girls to Jesus, who went, both of them really went on with God in a wonderful way. But I just thought again, we want to turn people just by being light. All we did then was bring a bit of light into that situation. God held it, and he then prompted the friend to ring, and we had an answer for that. I don't know what your issue is tonight. I don't know what you may be feeling you need light in, but I think we should open our hearts for the light of the Lord. And let him help us, whatever our need is. He is so faithful and just to help us. So, Lord, I just want to bring us all to you now, Lord. I thank you that many people in this hall are light bearers for you, Lord. They carry your light, and I pray there may be more and more of your light shining, Lord, as we all go out into the world tonight, as we go home, as we go to our workplace tomorrow, Lord, I pray for light to shine, for more and more of your goodness to be among us. And Lord, I pray that you will guide us and that our light may shine at the right time and in the right place. We might be ready to be there for you. So Lord, I pray, Lord, for any here tonight who perhaps don't know that they know that they're walking in the light. You've said, Jesus, that whoever follows you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I pray, Jesus, that your light will come to us. Come to us, Lord, we pray. Help us to follow you in all our ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would like us to make, we're going to continue. I'm going to hand this back to Ben in a moment, but if you would like to respond to anything that's said, if you would like prayer for any situation that you're troubled over, the darkness may not be a heavy darkness. It may simply be an absence of knowing what to do next. But let's be ready to seek the Lord. There are people here who'd be glad to pray for you. We'll be here at the front at the end. If you don't know Jesus in a living way and you're not sure you're following him, then please come and talk to one of us. Perhaps to Abby, to Roger, to myself. I also have a few Gospels of John. For those who've not read the Bible before, you might like to have one of those. But let's come and talk. Let's see what God is saying to all of us. Thank you.
Let's be free to worship the Lord and do come. There'll be people who can pray here, perhaps congregation leaders. You could make yourselves available if you are able to be here to pray for people. Do make use of this opportunity to respond. It's a great opportunity. Perhaps particularly, there were three things which just stood out to me. And maybe one of these things applies to you. Maybe you know that your lamp has been kind of flickering and dim. And the Lord says he won't extinguish a dimly burning wick. He can breathe it into new life. And you just want more light in your life. Perhaps there's a particular situation or a particular road which you need more light on. You can come and just receive prayer and agreement for that. And maybe you know that actually you yourself aren't in a dark place, but you're called to work or live or serve in a dark place. And we want to stand with you as well, if that's you. You just want more of the light of God with you. Let's worship together. Let's engage with the Lord. Let's allow this to soak into our hearts. And let's receive prayer if that's something that you want this evening.